Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, how our hearts adore you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this time in your presence, Lord. Thank you for this time in your presence. Where we just listen and hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For times of sitting, waiting, and listening, Lord. Not just here at church, but at home, God. Yes, yes. Even while we're driving, Lord, sometimes we're just sitting and waiting and listening for you, listening for your voice, God, listening for what you want to do next, God. Thank you, Jesus. Listening for your heart, God. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, it's your heart we desire, God. We desire your heart, God. Thank you. We want to hear your heart. We want to see what you're doing. Hear your heart. What's on your heart, God? Yes. That's what we want today, God. We want your heart for today. We want your heart for today. We want your heart for each other. Your heart for the service. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Can I share something? I saw a vision of a window when we started worshiping, and then later I saw a door, and then it progressed into the window was part of the door. It was the top of the door, but when you look out the window, it was like the window was much tall. It was tall, and it looked like dark, stormy clouds in the window. But then in the next time I saw it, it was like when the first time I saw it, it's like being let down with a child. And the next time I saw it, it was up top in what looked like storm clouds, where we're actually just this beautiful landscape of mountains. So that when we look at, sometimes when we are looking, we're new, and when we're looking from the place of immaturity or not, we haven't grown in that knowledge, that it can look scary to look out and see the door that we're supposed to go through. But when we are in maturity, our vision sees truth.
Go ahead, Christina.
Sees truth.
Come to the microphone.
Okay, see, I'm it's not fully formed. When we are looking lowly like a child in immaturity, we might not want to open that door.
Yeah.
Because it looks scary. It looks like a storm. Mm-hmm. And when y'all been through some storms, you know what a storm is like and what you have to push through to go through the storm. But when you have that immaturity in Christ or that as a child, you're not quite, you haven't learned yet. You haven't learned to trust. You haven't learned that faith yet. It might look scary to go through that door. But when you have the maturity of Christ, you can see through that what you thought looked scary wasn't scary. It's something beautiful that God has for you. So you need to just trust and go through the door. That's what I'm feeling. I may have it wrong. So if somebody else has something to add to that, that's just what I saw.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Christine, for sharing what God was showing you. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Lord, should anybody else anything? I didn't hear all of what Christina said, but it goes right along with the word for today. Amen. Amen. I was doing children duty. Amen. We're so glad to have the Lawrence back with us.
Amen.
I was gone when she came back, but it's a blessing to have her back. And if you have not told the Lawrence thank you, and how glad you are to have her back, I want you to make sure you do that before the day is over with. I know we're glad to have her here. We're family. And when family is going through something and we don't see them for a while, we're still family.
That's right.
We're still family. We always welcome family home. Mm-hmm. We always welcome family home. We never turn our back on family, right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We never turn our back on each other. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go to the Word of God. Christine, will you write down what the Lord showed you, please?
Yes.
Thank you. I had listened to different teachings in different places of different sayings, and the Lord began to speak to me about the correlation between obedience, faith, grace, and the blessing of the Lord or the promises of God or the manifestation of those promises. And a lot of times we don't think that. We don't realize that all faith really is being obedient to what God has said. We walk in obedience. We believe what God has said. And then we do it. So I want to talk to myself today, the power of obedience. The power of obedience. We need to become established in truth. That in the truth that when we obey the word of God, we are actually what? Stepping out in faith, and grace is appropriated. When we become established in the truth, so much so that we obey that truth, we're actually stepping out in faith, and grace is appropriated for that particular truth that we're believing God for. I heard someone say this. He said, the word of God is waiting for an assignment. You ever thought about that? The word of God is waiting for an assignment. Man. And actually, the word of God is waiting for an assignment. And once we speak the word of God, there are angels also waiting to carry out those assignments when we speak the word of God.
Amen.
Every promise, every word that God has spoken, that has been accomplished through Christ is waiting for an assignment. Sometimes we think we're waiting on God. God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us. The word applies God's grace to our life in whatever area is needed. Think about 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul said this, I labor more than you all, but not I, but the grace of God in me. If God's grace is laboring or working, then what was Paul doing? Paul was resting.
Yeah.
Paul was just resting.
Yeah.
He was resting in the grace of God. He was resting in the fact that, okay, God said this, I did what God said, now I rest because grace is doing the work. And a lot of times we labor, we try to do things, we try to make things happen. When the word of God didn't say do that, it's about resting. It's about resting. Paul said in Acts 26:19, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient. What did God tell Paul to do? Go preach the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. He went to the Jews first, they wouldn't listen, and then he went to the Gentiles. But Paul said, I wasn't laboring. It was the grace of God in me. I was resting as I did this. And the grace of God did the work.
Yes.
I just believed what God said, and I obeyed what God told me to do. There's power in obedience. I remember when I didn't obey God like I should. I wanted to do things my own way. I wanted to go my own way. A lot of times we think our way is the best way. But our way is not the best way. Obeying what God said is the very best thing we could ever do.
Man.
The very best thing we could ever do. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this. Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. It's better to obey God than to sacrifice.
Man.
A lot of times we want to give God sacrifice. God, I give you this. God, I give you this. And God is saying, okay, all I want is you, your heart. I want you to obey me. I want you to trust me. Believe me. Isaiah 1:19 says this. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Amen. Willing and obedient.
Willing and obedient. I remember when I was obedient, but I sure wasn't quite willing. You ever try to make your kid do something? You tell them to do what you want them to do, and they'll stop off and do it. They being obedient, but they ain't willing. I was obedient to the call of God when it came to pastoring, but at the end, I sure wasn't willing. So I wasn't eating the good of the land, but to be good of the land, you got to be willing and obedient.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus connected obedience. Jesus connected love for him to obedience. Did y'all know that your love can be measured for Jesus by how obedient we are to him?
Man.
The word of God says so. John 15:9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Next verse, John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, if you obey me, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. We can't abide in the love of God unless we obey him. Does that change how much God loves us, though? God's love for us never changes. He loves us just as much today as he ever did. He loves you just as much now as he would if you go out and disobey him. Obedience doesn't change God's love. But what does obedience do? It keeps us abiding in the love of God.
Yes.
There's a difference in abiding in God's love and having God love you. God loves you. He always will. He never will stop. But how much of God's love are we abiding in? How much of his love are we experiencing? How much his love are we having to walk in every day, knowing he loves us, believing he loves us? If we keep his commandments and we obey him, when I talk about commandments, I'm talking about the word of God. I'm talking about the promises of God. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments. Because obeying him is more than 10 commandments. Obeying him is, okay, Lord, whatever you say do today, that's what I'll do. Whatever you put on my heart, God, that's what I'll do. Whatever you tell me to say, God, that's what I'll do. Whatever your word has said, God, that's what I have faith in and I walk in, because what? I want to abide in your love. I want to stay in your love. So therefore, I will obey you, God. I will be willing and obedient, because there is power in obedience.
Tell me to give, I'll give it.
What you tell me to give, I'll
give it right now.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 There's power in obeying God. We have to believe the word to be obedient to the word.
Hallelujah.
You got to believe it to obey.
Hallelujah.
Believing is obeying. You ever thought about it? Believing is obeying. If there's any area where you're not believing, where you're not obeying the word of God, then you're not really believing and trusting God's word in that area. Believing is obeying. Obedience brings us into rest. It is from this place of rest that God's word, his promises, begin to work on our behalf. Obedience brings us into rest. And it's from this place of rest that God's word, his promises, begin to work on our behalf. If you're not believing, if you're not resting, you're probably not believing. Because believing the word brings us into a place of rest. And the promises begin to work on our behalf. It was Christ's obedience to the Father that made us righteous.
Man.
I think about the life of Jesus. I think about how he obeyed the Father.
Yes.
He obeyed the Father. Whatever the Father said, do, that's what he did. The Bible says he became obedient even unto death. Obeying the Father. He didn't think about himself. He didn't think about what I want to do. He didn't think about what his mother wanted him to do, his brothers or sisters or the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He thought about what the Father wanted him to do,
yeah,
and he obeyed the, yeah, Father.
Yeah.
He wasn't popular to obey the Father. Did he make enemies being obedient?
Uh-huh.
Yes, he did. Are we going to make enemies being obedient to the Father? Yes, we are. When you obey the word of God, you're going to make enemies. Are you going to please everybody when you obey the word? No. Somebody's going to be displeased. Somebody's not going to like the fact that you're obeying what God said to. Somebody's not going to like the fact that you're obeying the word of God. But there's power in obedience. There's power in obedience. Romans 5:19 says this. Romans 5:19. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous.
Amen.
Because Christ obeys the Father.
Yes.
We were made righteous.
Yes.
We were made righteous. I wonder who's waiting on your obedience. Who's waiting for you to obey God?
Whole world.
Yeah. God has sent you to somebody. God has sent you to a particular place. He put this work in you. So who's waiting for you to obey God and go out and do what God has called you to do? Because their answer is in you being obedient.
Good question.
When we trust God by obeying his word, grace released in our circumstances.
Man, thank you, Jesus.
When we trust God by obeying his word, grace is released in our circumstances. The Bible talks about great grace. Acts 4:33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all.
Hallelujah.
Do you think if they had not obeyed God, would they have had this great, great grace with them? I don't think so. It's in obeying the word that brings the power and the grace. The apostles have been commissioned to do by Jesus. They have been commissioned by Jesus to go be a witness to his resurrection in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. And that's what they were doing. They were obeying what Jesus told them to do. And because they were obedient, great grace was upon them.
Yeah.
Great grace.
Thank you.
Great grace. Christina talked about the vision she had about the window and about how it looks scary and cloudy when you're peering through it. But as you went further and looked, it got taller and it was sunny. That's how it is obeying God. Kind of scary at first, isn't it?
Man.
Kind of scary obeying God at first. God, I don't know where you're taking me. I don't know where this is leading me. I don't know how I'm going to be perceived. I don't know where I can get my provisions from, Lord. I don't know what people are going to think about this. So it looks a little scary when God first calls you to something. But if we would just be obedient, know we're hearing God, know it's the word of God, and step out. When we step out, that great grace comes.
Hallelujah.
And it looks way brighter.
Hallelujah.
It looks way brighter. It looks way brighter. The Bible talks about abundance of grace. Romans 5:17. Where by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. How do we receive the abundance of grace?
and this gift of righteousness, so we can reign in life through Christ Jesus. How did all that happen? We heard the word of God. Holy Spirit drew us to Jesus, and we obeyed the call. And then the grace was there for righteousness and to reign in life through Jesus Christ. What we had to do, we had to obey the call. We're called by Holy Spirit, by the word of God. We had to obey. Once we obeyed the call, grace appeared.
Yes.
And faith was there. Let's look a little closer at 1 Corinthians 15:10 again. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all, than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
Yes.
We have been given grace for every promise and every word of God. We have grace for every assignment, every obstacle, every difficulty,
thank you, Lord,
every suffering, every persecution, every temptation, every failure, every challenge, or anything we need or face in this life, we have grace for it.
Yeah.
We have grace for it. What we have to do is what? Obey the word of God in that area. Trust God. Step out on faith and be obedient to the word, and that grace appears. Grace doesn't care what you're going through. Grace doesn't care what the problem is. Grace has the ability to do whatever needs to be done in that situation. When I was meditating on this sermon and thinking about it, I thought about grace. Grace can grow arms and put eyeballs in sockets and grow out limbs and get people out of a wheelchair.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Grace is there for it. No matter what the situation, there's grace. That grace has been assigned for us in that situation. And the thing about it is, it didn't just appear when you needed it. God had it all figured out and put it all in place before you needed it.
It was there on the cross.
Yes, it was. Well, even far back to me.
From the foundation of the world.
From the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. This comes from God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We just said it's what? From the foundation of the world. But it's our obedience to God's word and promises that activates the grace of God in our lives.
Yes, thank you, Father.
It's our obedience to God's word and promises that activates the grace of God in our lives.
Thank you.
I want to look at something in Hebrews 4, 1. Through 13. So go with me to Hebrews 4, 1 through 13. Hebrews 4, 1 through 13. This particular verses are talking about the children of Israel. It's talking about when they were in the wilderness before they got to the promised land. God had promised them the land. He promised it way before they started out. The promise was made to Abraham. But the promise made to Abraham and his seed. And I'm going to read 1 through 13. Hebrews 4, 1. Therefore, since the promise remained of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. For the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. See how the word of God tied in the word of God being mixed with faith and rest. To believe the word of God causes us to what? Enter a place of rest.
Amen. Thank you.
If you're not resting, you're not believing. If you're not resting, then the grace of God is not working on your behalf. They did not mix what? Faith with what they heard. And so God swore they would not enter his rest because of the fact they did not mix faith with what they heard. They didn't believe God. God said, I'm going to take you to the promised land.
Yeah.
You're going to defeat the giants in the land.
Yeah.
They didn't believe it. So they didn't mix what they heard with faith. Verse 4, for he had spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remained that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. How do you not enter the rest of God? Disobedience. Disobeying what? Not believing the word of God. Disobeying the word of God. Not believing what God has said. So if you are disobedient, you cannot enter the rest. It's only when you obey you enter the rest. 7. Again, he designated a certain day seen in David. Today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. What do? When we disobey the word of God, we harden our hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his.
Yes, thank you.
Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. How do we enter that rest? Obedience. Does anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience? How do you not enter? Disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his eyes, from his sight, I'm sorry. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account.
Man.
So when we obey the word of God, we enter a rest.
Hallelujah.
That causes the grace of God to work for us. When we disobey the word of God, we don't have rest. We don't have rest, you know, and we don't get what we believe in God for. I almost wanted to act like I was teaching Bible study and say, are there any questions? So what do we do? What do we do? Because we all know we don't always enter that place of rest. We don't always obey the word of God. So what do we do? We don't always get what we believe in God for. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
He is faithful.
Just do what his word says.
Yes.
Then hold fast your confession of his promise. Do what the word says. Believe the word of God. Speak the word of God. Then hold fast to what you said. Hebrews 10:23, I read before, I'm going to read it again in the Amplified. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. But he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word.
Hallelujah.
You might say, Pastor, I prayed and believed and declared and waited. Where's my miracle? Has your hope been deferred so long that your heart is sick? That's in Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When the desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. You can move out of that place of frustration and step into your healing, provision, peace, and deliverance. Just hold fast to your confession of faith, and you will see your miracle manifest.
Yeah.
As you do this, you are what? You're being obedient.
Yeah.
Remind yourself of God's nature, his love, truth, and the fact that he cannot lie. Remind yourself that it's your job to obey the promise by believing and saying the same thing God said. Manifestation is God's job. Don't try to do God's job for him. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to believe, trust, rest in the promise. And then God brings the manifestation. God gets us out. God does what we need. God heals our bodies.
Thank you.
When I was believing God for my back injury on my left side, I tried to do everything I thought I was supposed to do. I got people to lay hands on me. I got people to pray for me. I prayed for myself, but nothing seemed to stick. And so then I just stopped, and I got a book, and I read, and I read the word of God, and I concentrated on the word of God, and I said, okay, Lord, something in me needs to be fixed. Some way or another in me, I'm not believing. I'm not trusting. So I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to get in the word of God, confess that word over myself, meditate on the word of God. And so that word changes my heart. Where I start obeying, believing so I can obey the word of God. I couldn't obey because I wasn't believing. But when I got in the word of God and meditated on it and got it in my heart and it changed my mind, renewed my mind, I was able to get my heart to where it believed the word.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Sometimes our heart's not believing the word. They ain't got a revelation, and that revelation quickly and healed. He believed the word.
Amen.
Sometimes it takes us a little longer.
Yes.
Sometimes we got to read, we got to meditate, we got to fast, we got to pray until that word changes our heart, and then we can obey.
Yeah.
But whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, it doesn't matter. It took Dan a little while, but that's okay. It took me a little longer, but that's okay. I'm just as healed as he is.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
It might take you a little longer than somebody else, but don't you worry about the time frame. All you got to do is do what you know you need to do to get that heart and that mind renewed. Get that heart changed and that mind renewed so you can trust the word of God.
Thank you, Father.
You can obey the word.
Hallelujah.
You can obey the word.
Hallelujah.
And you can obey the word. Amen. Amen. So hold fast your confession of faith, and you will see your miracle. Don't quit. Don't give up. As you do this, you are being obedient. Remind yourself of God's nature. Remind yourself he's love, truth, but he cannot lie. Remind yourself that it's your job to obey, and his job to manifest. How important is the word of God to you? How important are his promises to you? How important is his written word? How important is the spoken word? How important is your prophetic word that God has given you? How important is the word of God to you? Because it's going to determine what you do. If we lightly esteem the word of God, we're not going to pay much attention to the word. But if the word of God is important to you, you're going to read it. You're going to stick with it. You're going to meditate on it.
Thank you, Father.
You're going to obey it. Hebrews 11:6 says this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We don't have any problem believing that God is. We believe he is, yes. Our problem is believing that every time we come to him, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yes, thank you, Father.
I might believe what God, you'll do it for Dan. But I don't quite believe you'll do it for me, Lord. You know, Dan lives a more holier life than I do. Maybe Dan pray more than I do. And then I say, okay, Lord, you do it for Dan. So Dan, you doing everything you want to do. I ain't quite doing everything I'm supposed to do, Lord. But it's not based on performance.
Amen.
It's based on trusting and believing the word of God and resting in the word.
Hallelujah.
Did you know that God is not comparing me and Dan? Uh-huh. He ain't comparing Dolores and Billy.
Hallelujah.
God don't play that comparison game.
No,
he's not comparing one of us to another. He's just looking at us and wanted us to step in and trust
Hallelujah.
Him and obey him and go with him to where he wants to take us.
Hallelujah.
I just had this thought. What great things God has for each and every one of us.
Absolutely.
I had this thought about how God wants to just manifest himself in such a great way to every one of us.
Yes.
I just had this thought.
Mm-hmm.
about God's anointing that's on each and every one of us.
Yes.
What God has in our heart. Uh-huh. What God desires for each and every one of us.
Yes.
How God sees us.
Uh-huh.
And how God wants us to get to what he sees.
Yes.
But God loves us right now.
Yes.
Right where we are.
Yes.
He'll love me if I sit down and never preach another sermon.
Hallelujah.
God will still love me. But I won't get all that God has for me if I don't get up and obey him.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you, Father.
So if you're not seeing results in a certain area, then you're not rested. It's only when you rest through obedience that the power of God is activated and grace for his promise begin to work on our behalf. So what else do you do? Visualize the word of God alive and active and operating in you and through you. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is what? Living and powerful. As you speak forth his word, imagine that you are assigning his promises to positions in your life. You got an imagination. I got one too. My mind works overloaded. I don't know how yours work. I don't have any trouble imagining things. So as you speak forth his word, imagine that you are assigning his promise to positions in your life. These promises work on your behalf while you just rest in him. This is the grace of God laboring with you. The only thing we labor in is coming into his rest and position ourselves to trust the Lord. Bring yourself to a place of rest. Say, I'm going to trust the word of God. And I'm going to read that word and meditate on that word until I get to the place I can trust the word. Because once I trust the word, I can obey the word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Another thing you got to do is get rid of stinking thinking. We all heard that before. Get rid of stinking thinking. The man at John 5, he had some stinking thinking. He had been sick for 38 years. Mm-hmm. He lay by the pool waiting for the angel to come and stir the water. When Jesus asked the man if he wanted to be healed, the man replied with a list of excuses about how the circumstances were never right and he couldn't reach the pool in time to be healed. The man had some stinking thinking. He was focused on what? Specific circumstances to be healed. When he had to heal, standing right there in front of him,
yes.
Jesus.
Yes. Uh-huh.
When we can all slide into thinking. When we've been waiting and waiting for a miracle for quite some time, we start to think things like this. God, if you really want me healed, then where is my healing? God, if you really love me, then why are all these bad things happening to me? God, everybody else is anxious. Everybody else complaining about this. We just, you know, I can't help it, Lord. Everybody complaining about the economy. They complaining about the prices. And look, I hear people say that sometimes. I complain a little bit too. But that is not the will of God. That's thinking. This type of thinking can uproot miracles before it has time to grow. If you're believing God for a financial blessing, then stop complaining about the economy.
Yeah.
Because the economy has nothing to do with the grace of God.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the promises of God.
If
you are believing God for healing, stop complaining about how you feel and you can't do this and you can't do that. Because that body cannot stand against the grace of God for healing.
Amen.
It will uproot your miracle before it has time to grow. Often, the longer we have to wait for our breakthrough, the more these thoughts bury themselves in our hearts and become accepted in our mind. Confession brings creation. So what do we do? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Say the same thing that God's word says. What God says, you say the same thing. If the word of God says you heal, you say you heal. If the word of God says you prosper, you say you prosper. If the word of God says you're strong, you say I'm strong. We declare we are healed, we're delivered, we have peace and freedom and provision. We are qualified for every promise in Christ.
Yes.
You know what your confession does? Your confession of the word of God plants seeds. It plants seeds in your heart. That's what I was doing when I was meditating on the word of God. I was planting seeds in my heart with the word. So you confess the word of God and you plant these seeds in your heart. we take it by faith that our words have power and our miracles being created. Think about the word of God as seeds you're planting in your heart that are affecting your body, your circumstances, and your finances. And you want, you hold fast that confession. You keep planting those seeds. And when you're doing that, what? You're being obedient because of the word of God said to you. You're being obedient. You're confessing. You're speaking the word of God over your situation. You're speaking the word of God over your body. You're speaking the word of God over your circumstances. You're speaking the word of God over whatever needs the word of God. You speak that word of God. You're planting those seeds. You're planting those seeds. You're resting. You're allowing the word of God to work for you. You're not being discouraged by how long it takes. You're not being discouraged by friends or families. You're not being discouraged by past failures or things that come to say you're disqualified. You know those are lies. So you're not affected by any of those things. You keep planting and confessing those seeds and resting. You're resting. You're resting. Yeah. You plant the word of God in you because you know the word of God is doing the work. Hallelujah. You know there's grace there to do the work. You're being obedient.
Hallelujah.
And you're planting those seeds. Planting those seeds. You're planting those seeds. And then the word of God began to create what you're believing for. The word of God said in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I send it.
Thank you, Father.
In faith, we believe our confession is being created into our manifestation, like a seed in the ground or a baby in the womb. Like when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and he cursed it, and nothing could be seen out here on the fig tree, because the work started at the root grade couldn't be seen. Speak the word of God. Hold fast your confession.
Yeah.
Because God is working where you can't see him working. Don't pull up your seeds. Don't dig up your seeds. But keep confessing and allow the word of God to work. You just keep resting. You just keep resting. Resting in the love of God. Resting in the fact that God cannot lie. Resting in the fact that God is giving grace for every situation. So just hold fast your confession. Hold fast your confession. As you do that, you're walking in obedience. And there's power in obedience. Abraham waited for Isaac 25 years. Abraham was crowned king until 10 or 15 years after Samuel anointed him. Joseph had a vision as a boy of his family kneeling before him. However, it didn't come to pass for many years, even though his enslavement and imprisonment. There are those that have waited longer than we have. You're not waiting because God has decided not to act on your behalf. That's not true. You're not waiting for perfect circumstances. There's no way to be more holy or more qualified to receive. You're not waiting for God to be in a good mood. You're not waiting for any of those things. None of those things have anything to do with the manifesting of your blessing. In Christ, any circumstance is the right circumstance for healing, deliverance, or prosperity. Because you are in Christ. The answer is going to bring that next time he preaches. Because you are in Christ, you are holy, blameless, and qualified. In Christ, you are a friend of God. And his thoughts towards you are good. Don't quit on your miracle or whatever your promise you are believing for God for. If your heart has grown sick because of hope deferred, fill it up with God's promises. If you stop believing and speaking in faith, just start back speaking it again. Pick up right where you left off. Start confessing the last thing you were believing God for, and know by faith that your confession is starting to a creation which brings a manifestation. Get ready to conclude. Remember 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. We might know, and that word know means to understand and experience the things that have been freely given to us by God. We have the Holy Spirit, that we might know and experience the things that God has freely given to us. And these things that God has given to us, these promises, are by the grace of God. God has supplied by his grace whatever we need. Thank you, Jesus. whatever we need. Be established in the truth of God's word by being obedient and holding on to every promise by your confession. There is power in obedience. I want to go to Isaiah 41, 11, 12, and 13. I remember when I first started pastoring, God gave me Isaiah 41, 13. I didn't believe I had what it take to pastor. I thought I was too old to pastor. I thought a woman by herself wasn't a good candidate for a pastor. I thought being a black woman by herself wasn't a good candidate for pastor. I had all kinds of reasons. I wasn't a good candidate for pastor. And one day I was laying in my bed and God gave me Isaiah 41, 13. But I want to read 41, 11, 12, and 13. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. So whatever warned against you, whatever past, whatever thoughts, whatever sickness or disease that's warned against you, the Bible says those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. Once you obey the word of God, step into a place of rest, there will come a time when once you believe in God for what the word says, you will manifest. And those things that warred against you, that sickness, that disease, or whatever it was that warred against you, the Bible says shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. Then they cast your head. It's a non-existent thing now. It
does not exist.
Does not exist.
They want to say to me, are you in remission? No, I'm healed.
That's it. It
I ain't in remission.
It doesn't exist. That back trouble I had, it's non-existent. It doesn't exist. Because healing is there now.
Amen.
And verse 13 says this. And that also goes for our past. Sometimes we think about what we did in the past before we got saved. You know what you got saved? That past is non-existent.
Yes.
It doesn't exist. So Jesus is dead because he doesn't repair the old man. The old man died. And now we have a new man. And he talks about our new man. He doesn't discuss that old man. If you want to talk to him about something, talk about the new man. You have plenty of conversations with that. Isaiah 41, 13 says this. This is what the Lord spoke to me. And I didn't know it. He said it like a little scripture, so I went to where and found it. I didn't know where it was. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. That's what God says to us today. Fear not. God, I don't know how to obey your word. I don't think I have it in me to obey your word. I don't think I have the strength to obey your word. He's saying, that's okay. I'm the Lord your God. I will hold your right hand, and I'll say to you, fear not, I will help you. I have given you grace. I have the grace that you need to see you through. I will take you through this. I will hold your hand. I will let you know I'm with you. I will give you grace to get through this. As we obey him, in everything we need, because there's power in obedience.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and loving kindness. Our heart is to obey you, Lord. Even if sometimes we don't, God, our heart is to obey you. We thank you, Father God, for grace to be obedient, for grace to read the word of God, meditate on the word of God, spend time just sitting and waiting and listening to you as we read your word. And once we hear it, God, we thank you that we are willing and obedient. We will obey the word of God.
We will obey your word. We will obey your word. We will obey your word, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a song that says, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes. Lord, yes.
Amen. That's the word for today.